What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Milen Ryobe, and this is Awakened Wellness, where we'll be going on an eye-opening, mind-expanding adventure into wellness, disease prevention, and wholeness. We'll be debunking myths, learning about cutting-edge research that corroborates ancient traditions, and we'll be exploring mind-body-spirit approaches that keep you and your family healthy and vibrant. I want to stress that what I'll be sharing with you today and in all of my podcasts is not medical advice, because I'm not specifically evaluating or diagnosing or treating any specific person or condition. So I just want to make sure that you know that my patients, when they come in, I'll come into the Ryobe Institute, they're fully and properly evaluated before I formulate a treatment plan to share with them. So I also advise you to seek the care of a board-certified integrative medical doctor so that you can see what I'll be sharing throughout this show that may be of benefit to you. I'm a board-certified medical doctor in the fields of OBGYN and the exciting new field of integrative medicine, which was just formally accepted as a medical specialty by the American Board of Physician Specialties in 2014. So I'm a medical director at the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine, and I've been a practicing physician for over 20 years, and I've been doing exclusively integrative care for over 15 years. The reason that I switched and did integrative care is because I grew very rapidly frustrated with the type of medicine that I learned in my OBGYN residency. And by the time I graduated and started my own practice, and became board certified in OBGYN in 2003, I began to realize that I couldn't help a lot of my patients as I was told I would be able to. I found that I struggled almost every day to really help people that came in, because most of my patients didn't come in with the life-threatening acute emergencies that I was trained to treat in my residency program. Instead, they came in with conditions like fatigue, anxiety, depression, stress, weight gain. Some of them came in with difficulty sleeping, infertility. We learned a lot in our residency programs, but treating these chronic nagging symptoms were not one of the things we learned. And so I just couldn't help my patients after I got my board certification. And I have 13 years of advanced medical training at that point. So I was really just miffed as to why I just couldn't help them. I would prescribe drugs, I would give them antidepressants, I would even give them sleeping pills, and they would come back with the same symptoms or side effects. Some got better, but inevitably they came back with something else later. And so I began to look for other options, and I began to study holistic medicine. I studied traditional Chinese medicine and then functional medicine. So then what happened is I was able to look at conditions from three different angles. So I was able to look at it from the way that I was trained in my residency program as an allopathic medical doctor. I was able to look at it from a holistic perspective, which is what traditional Chinese medicine brings to the table. And I was able to look at it from a functional medicine perspective. Functional medicine is somewhat similar to our allopathic medicine that we're all familiar with. But it's a little bit more holistic in that it looks for the root causes of symptoms and conditions. And so what I began to realize once I really got into these further studies is that if you don't look at the root cause of why something is happening, you won't ever really actually resolve it. And so traditional Chinese medicine and functional medicine gave me the ability to tell my patients why they were tired, why they were gaining weight, why they were anxious, why they were depressed, why they were having infertility problems in a way that I just couldn't do with my OBGYN training. And so that opened up a whole new world for me and for my clients. And this past year, this is why this podcast is a little bit of a year in review. This past year, the most obvious example that we have that our current medical paradigm is failing is the COVID-19 crisis. We've been mired in this for the past year and counting, and we've defaulted to the same knee-jerk responses that we take when we're confronted with acute medical crises. We try and throw drugs at it. We try and operate on it. We throw steroids at it and hope for the best. The additional training that I did in traditional Chinese medicine and functional medicine taught me very clearly that that is simply not the right way to approach things. And when we look at COVID-19 in the past year of just tragedy, fear, and again, knee-jerk reactive responses that we've seen, it's so evident that we need a better way. It's so evident that we have to find something different. We need to begin to look at why we have a COVID-19 crisis, not how to handle it, but why we have it. So this way we can prepare ourselves to prevent the next one, right? We had a crisis like this just over 100 years ago in 1918, the so-called, Spanish flu. And we didn't have all this technology. We didn't have vaccines. We didn't have ventilators. We didn't have antivirals. And yet we have just as many deaths from COVID-19 with all this technology as we did 100 years ago. 100 years ago, the main cause of death was infection. And instead of looking at the reason why infections were so prevalent, we decided to just attack the bugs, which again is a knee-jerk response that seems obvious on the surface. But when we begin to look a little bit deeper, we begin to understand that something more needs to be done. The idea that we wait for a bug to attack us and then try and fight it off is a no-win situation, as we've seen. We have over 1.5 million people who will die of this COVID-19 crisis before we'll get it under control. The idea that we should wait for a bug to attack us and then defend ourselves against it is a flawed idea. And this goes back to the paradigm of medicine itself. Our allopathic medical system is designed to diagnose and treat disease. It is not designed to prevent them. And so this COVID-19 crisis is showing us in no uncertain terms that that approach is flawed. When we go back 100 years ago and we see that the number one cause of death was infection back then, we were at a choice point. We had a choice to make. We could either have looked at the root cause of those infections and treated the root cause, or we could have done what we actually did, which was to develop technology, which was to discover antibiotics, create vaccines to try and deal with these infections. It worked briefly, right? We saw the infection rates drop precipitously, but then they started to climb. And it wasn't because of COVID-19. It wasn't since COVID-19 that they began to climb. It was long before COVID-19. So the effectiveness of vaccines and antibiotics worked for about 50 years. And then we saw it starting to wear off. And the World Health Organization published a paper about, I would say 13 years ago, where it warned about the increasing rates of epidemics and pandemics, and that we needed to do something different. And the leader of the World Health Organization at the time suggested that the problem was that we didn't have enough people obtaining healthcare. And that was the problem, and that we needed to have more people in the healthcare system, more people having access to healthcare in order to prevent pandemics. And again, while that sounds like a great idea on the surface, COVID-19 has proven to us that that's not actually the case. What COVID-19 has shown us is that it doesn't matter how many people you have getting healthcare. It's really up to the people themselves to have the ability to fight the infection. It's really up to the people themselves to prevent the infection itself. Because the first 6 months of COVID-19, we didn't have any treatments. We didn't know how to treat it. People either lived or died based on the strength of their own immune systems. And our healthcare system was essentially impotent. We couldn't do anything. The methods that we used typically to treat infections like COVID-19 were not working. And so we had up to 70 to 90% death rates with hospitalizations when COVID-19 first began. Now, we've come to a better understanding over time about COVID-19, and so the death rates have started to come down more. But at the very beginning, we had nothing for this. And that pointed to something very important, and that is that 100 years ago, we should have made a better choice. 100 years ago, we had the choice to fix the root cause of what causes people to be susceptible to infections, and we didn't do it. We decided instead to chase the bugs around. And when we do that, we see too many people die while we're waiting for the latest vaccine and the latest antiviral. At this point, we have 500,000 people, more than 500,000 people who've perished from COVID-19, and we're scrambling to get vaccines out. Well, we already have vaccines for malaria. And despite that, 400,000 people die every year of malaria, and we have a vaccine for that. We have a vaccine for the flu, and yet 60,000 people die every year of the flu. And so we have to begin to look for a better way. So I'm blessed and honored to be with you here today on Dream Vision 7 Radio to have this discussion. And if you're either listening or watching on our YouTube channel live today, we're happy to have you. We're here live every first and third Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern Standard. And we have pre-recorded shows at midnight. And if you're a night owl, our midnight shows will be on every week. During our live shows, I encourage you to give us a call at area code 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Give me a call. I'd love to hear your questions. I'd love to hear your opinions, your experiences about what this past year has been for you. So we can begin to have an honest conversation about how to really actually prevent this from happening again, and what we can do from here forward. So I'm looking forward to giving you practical common sense advice to keep you and your loved ones healthy and ready for the challenges of being human in the 21st century on planet Earth. We're in for a wild ride if we don't look at things a little bit differently. So how did we get here? First of all, where are we? How did we get here, and how do we get out of here, right? This past year has been a nightmare. Great tragedy, great fear, and in my opinion, great opportunity to change the paradigm of healthcare from one of waiting to get diseases to one of actually preventing them. And so when you wait to get a disease to react to it, you're no longer preventing the disease. What you're preventing instead is death. And that's not a good option for what we consider to be the premier healthcare system in the world, right? A premier healthcare system prevents disease. It doesn't scramble to find solutions to disease, because we're still waiting for an HIV vaccine. 400,000 people die of malaria every year despite a vaccine. But you know what's really telling is I had a conversation with a friend of mine maybe 6 months into the COVID pandemic when we were losing about 1,000 people a day, which back then was shocking. And we couldn't even fathom that we would be losing 4,000 people a day just a few months later. So at the time, we were shocked over 1,000, and we were having this conversation. And she made the comment of, 1,000 people are dying every single day. This is crazy. And I thought to myself, That's not really that many, considering how many die in general every day. And I didn't know the number specifically, but I knew it was a lot. And how did I know it was a lot? Is because I was writing my book at the time, I was finishing it. And so I had looked up a bunch of statistics over the past couple of years, getting ready to write this book. And some of the statistics that I saw, even as a physician, even as what I do every day, I'm always, you know, marinating in these statistics when I talk to my patients, but they don't always sink in, you know. And I didn't know why I was thinking 1,000 wasn't that much, but it was because I was remembering subconsciously how many people die of heart attacks every day, how many people die of strokes every single day, and how many people die of cancer every single day. And so I looked it up just to refresh my memory, and 8,800 people die every single day in the United States. And so when we look at 1,000 versus 8,000 for other reasons, it makes us really sit and think, like, why are we freaking out over the 1,000, but we're not freaking out over the 8,000, right? So if we slice the pie up, 3,500 people die every single day in the United States of America from a heart attack or cancer. And that's year after year, right? It's not just COVID, it's year after year. And so those statistics don't shock us. They don't frighten us because we don't hear about them. We're not told about them. We don't turn on the news every night and have this, you know, number blasted in front of our screens about how many people have died of this or that. It's only that we have focused in on COVID and the 1,000 deaths a day that it shocked us. It frightened us. But 8,800 should shock us a little bit more and frighten us a little bit more. Or a lot bit more, right? So yes, people are born and they die, and that's just a function of life. You know, that's the cycle of life that we all understand to be true. And so people will be born and people will die, and we understand that. The concern isn't so much that people are born and people die, but it's the quality of their lives that matter the most. So yes, we all have to go sometime, but does it have to be from cancer? Does it have to be from Alzheimer's? Does it have to be from a stroke that leaves us disabled for the rest of our lives? Does it have to be from a heart attack? And the answer is no, it doesn't have to be. We could all potentially die in our sleep of old age. You know, so we understand that death is inevitable, but the way that we die should matter. The way that we live should matter. And so we were all shocked and grieved with, you know, with good reason at the people who were dying of COVID. They were dying without their family members present. They were dying alone. They were dying in the presence of strangers. And that shocked and saddened us all, as it should. But 8,800 people die of diseases they shouldn't be dying of every single day. And that statistic is well known. We can all go to websites. The CDC keeps those statistics. And I went to a site called Macro Trends just after I had this conversation with my friend about the 1,000 deaths a day. And I asked myself, is the daily death rate in the United States actually being impacted by COVID-19? Or is it the same? Are people dying of COVID instead of other things, is what I asked myself. And so I went and I looked at this website called Macro Trends. And you can go to it. It's managed by the World Health Organization. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that they actually keep this statistic, and it dates back to 1950. So we have 70 years of data about the daily death rate in many countries throughout the world. It's an economic website. And because birth rates and death rates have a lot to do with the economy, those statistics are also kept. And I looked and I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised to see that our daily death rate was actually not being impacted by COVID-19. So even though we were losing 1,000 people a day, the daily death rate was essentially the same, 8,800. And when I look back through the trends, our daily death rate has been actually going up very slightly. So our daily death rate went up about 1% with COVID-19. So it went from 8,800 to 8,880 a day during the COVID-19, the height of the crisis when it first started, when we were at 1,000 deaths a day. And then I looked back through time and I saw that our daily death rate has actually been going up by the same amount since 2008. So since 2008, our daily death rate has been increasing by 1% per year. And COVID didn't put a dent in that increase, which was shocking to me, but not shocking given what I know about the death rates from cancer and strokes and heart attacks. And so that brought to light something that we really, really need to consider. That is that it's not really COVID taking us out, right? COVID is just the label we slap on the death certificate. But it could just as easily be cancer. It could just as easily be a heart attack. And that's telling. That's important to know. And even at 4,000 deaths a day, I went back again. I said, let me wait, because now the death rates are even higher. Let me see if COVID is making a dent in our daily death rate. And I didn't want to check right away because I wanted to allow the website to catch up so that the statistics would be accurate. And so I waited and I went back and I looked again. Well, the daily death rate has only increased by 1.2%, even at 4,000 deaths a day from COVID. And again, that's kind of shocking, and it's kind of not shocking, because again, 8,800, now 8,000, perhaps 900 people are dying a day of all causes, the majority of which are heart attacks and cancer, and now COVID. And so what we have to begin to look at is why are we dying of these unnecessary diseases, right? We have all the technology in the world that we could possibly want. We have more technology and more money than any country on the planet. And yet we are 26th in life expectancy in the world here in the United States. And we are consistently ranked 37th in the world in terms of healthcare quality. So it's clear that technology and money can't buy our way out of our healthcare crisis. So we have to look for something else. We can't out-technologize and outspend our healthcare crisis, whether it's from COVID, heart attacks, cancers, or whatever is next, right? Alzheimer's. So we have to look at something different. We have to look at the idea that we're poisoning ourselves. We are essentially killing the planet. And when we kill the planet, we kill ourselves. 70 to 80% of the species on the planet are endangered, including us. We just haven't announced it to the general public yet. But when we look at our own life expectancy, you know, we learned from the news recently that our life expectancy is going down due to COVID. What they fail to tell you is that our life expectancy has been going down for the past 2 out of 3 years, long before COVID. So the problem here is that we are miseducated. I won't go so far as to say we're manipulated, but I'll say we're miseducated. We're given bits and pieces of data that are on the surface that are easy to see, but we're never given the details under the surface. We're never given the details that would allow us to make more informed decisions. So if you go to the CDC website, you can look at our life expectancy over the years. And you can see that for the past 2 out of 3, and now probably 3 out of 4 years, our life expectancy will have been declining. So this has nothing to do with COVID-19. COVID-19 is just the label that is now being put on the causes of death. But the deaths were happening before. And more importantly, the quality of life was suffering before, and it's been suffering for quite some time. So we would think with all the technology we've been able to bring forth over the past century, that we'd be a little bit further ahead in this game. But when we come back, we'll talk about how we developed this technology and what's happened over the past 100 years with our technology that has actually made us sicker. So please feel free to give us a call. Again, we're here live today, so now's a great time to give us a call. And the number is area code 833-220-1200. When we come back from this side of the break, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening and watching.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm Milen Ryobe, MD, and I am your host. Are we on?
Yeah, sorry. We were going through another commercial. We had somebody on the line want to talk with you, but they had to go. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You can interrupt me if there's anyone on the line.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. I will do that.
Are we live? Are we ready to go?
Yes, you're on. You're on there.
Thank you. All right. Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm Dr. Milen Ryobe, your host, and today we're talking about the year in review, COVID-19. Where are we? How did we get here? And how do we get out of here? So again, it's been a very tragic year. It's been a scary year, but it's also been a year of opportunity because we are being slapped in the face with everything that's wrong with our current healthcare paradigm. The idea that we should be waiting for diseases to happen and to react to them, we're beginning to understand that that's just not a good way to go. Wherever we look in our allopathic model, we're just waiting around to get sick. And then we go and prevent death by having these diseases treated with medications, surgeries, or other procedures. Whether we're talking about cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, or infections like COVID-19, there's no significant conversation about prevention. In the case of COVID-19, we do talk about wearing your mask, washing your hands, getting vaccinated, which are all extremely important. But is that really, truly prevention? Or are we just, again, reacting with knee-jerk responses? And I'm not suggesting you should not wear your mask or wash your hands or get vaccinated. That's not what I'm recommending. I'm not against vaccines. I think vaccines are appropriate for certain conditions, for certain high-risk people. So that's a conversation, you know, to have with your physician to assess your own risks, et cetera. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer per se. I think they should be used judiciously. But that's not really prevention, right? Where are the conversations about boosting immunity? Where are the conversations about what really allows a pandemic to actually take hold? Do we have a caller?
Yes, we have a caller, but they haven't raised their hand. If you want to talk to the doctor, raise your hand. We'll let you in. Area code 213.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, there you go.
Hello.
Hello. I wanted to thank you for your information you're providing, and I wanted to ask about the role of supplements, like everything from different vitamins to like protein substance and things like that.
Yes, that's a phenomenal question. And that is the nuts and bolts of what we're going to talk about now. So I thank you for that question, because that segues right into what we're going to talk about. And that goes into the question of boosting immunity, right? Infections are always a bit of a war, right? It's a war of the bug that's trying to access the host, you know, in this case, the human body, and the human body, you know, so whoever is stronger wins that battle. And that's really just the bottom line. And that's what we learn in medical school. We learn that it's always the host or the person versus the bug. And whoever is weaker loses. Whoever is stronger wins. So if the virus is stronger than the person, because that person's immune system has been so weakened that they allow the opportunity for the virus to jump into the body, the virus will take advantage, because viruses are opportunists. Viruses are not super bugs like we're led to believe. They're not these big bad things that are going to bowl you over. They're opportunists like parasites. They're opportunists. Even a cancer cell is actually an opportunist. It's not a big bad thing that's so strong that it's going to just come and bowl you over. So the question is, how do we become weaker than the virus we're trying to prevent, or the cancer for that matter, we're trying to prevent? And that is through the absence of proper nutrition. When we're not properly nourished, our immune system is not strong enough to defend us. There are other factors with immunity, but supplementation, food, is really the number one way to prevent infection. So 100 years ago, when the number one cause of death was infection, a choice we had to make was to feed people, right? To give them proper nutrition sources so that they could not only boost their immunity, but boost their wellness, period, to prevent all kinds of diseases, not just infection. So had we, instead of vaccinating the world and medicating the world, if we had fed the world instead, if we had given them proper food, proper water, clean water, we wouldn't be experiencing COVID-19 today in the way that we're experiencing it. And there's about a half century of research to back that up. If we look at the medical literature, we can see that deficiencies of vitamins A, E, C, D, several B vitamins such as B6, folic acid, B12, the minerals selenium, iron, copper, and zinc. All of those nutrients are critically important for immune function, and there are many, many studies that you can find on the internet. They're readily available to the public, that will show that study after study says that if you have even mild deficiencies of these particular nutrients, you will be prone to infections. And so when we talk about COVID-19, we talk about the deaths and the people that are at risk for dying. And you have to be pretty sick already to die of COVID-19. So the CDC has published that you need to have what they call 2.6 comorbidities to die of COVID-19. So in other words, you have to have 2.5 already existing diseases, such as obesity or heart disease or diabetes, for COVID-19 to actually take you out. So in other words, you have to have one foot in a grave and the other one on a banana peel for COVID to actually kill you. For COVID to infect you, however, you don't need to be that sick, right? You can just have a weakened immune system and get infected with COVID. And that's why it's so contagious, is because so many people are immune deficient today and they don't even know that they're immune deficient. I often have clients who come in and say, well, I never get sick. And meanwhile, we test their immunity and they don't even have an immune system response that's worth talking about. And in Chinese medicine, we can begin to understand why that is. So people think they don't get sick. I don't get the flu. I don't catch colds. Chinese medicine has an answer for that. And that is that sometimes your immune system is so weak that you actually don't mount a response that you would recognize as getting sick. So it's not that the virus didn't invade your body and do damage. It's that your body didn't notice because it was literally too weak to mount a response. So when people get sick and they get symptoms from COVID-19, that's a sign that their immune system is actually functioning to try and get the virus out. Now, it also means it was weak because they got infected to begin with, right? But they still had some ability to mount a defense. They weren't completely defenseless. That's why we see a lot of asymptomatic carriers of COVID, is that they weren't strong enough to prevent infection. They just had enough of an immune response not to die. They didn't have those 2.6 coexisting conditions. So if we were to correct these issues, if we were to feed people better, and again, we can go into the conversation of the fact that what we eat here in the United States cannot be defined as food. It's chemicals. It's not actual food. It's genetically modified. The pesticide residue that's on our food renders our food toxic. And vast majority of people are consuming these foods and don't know that they're actually slowly poisoning themselves. So the organic food industry does a little bit better job. You know, they can't completely shield your food from all pesticide residue, but the load will be less. So making sure that you have proper supplementation is critical. Making sure you eat properly, and then supplementing what you can't get in your food with the proper vitamins and minerals as supplements that you take is critically important in preventing pandemics and preventing each individual from getting sick and potentially dying of COVID or spreading more. And that was a choice point we had 100 years ago that we didn't make. You know, and I have people say, well, how do you expect us to feed the world, right? And I say the same way we vaccinated the world, the same way we medicated the world is the same way we feed the world. It's just really not that difficult. We just have to have the will to make that happen. And so I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so what do we do? You know, where do we go from here? You know, where we go from here is we begin to understand, well, why do we have a weakened immune system and what can we do about it? So the conversation isn't all doom and gloom about, you know, we have a weakened immune system and bad food and that's the end of it, right? We all have a choice to make. We can choose to do things differently with the right information. And so learning about food, becoming a student of what you want to be is the most important way out of this quandary. Beginning to learn about nutrition, beginning to learn about you know, what it means to eat properly, what it means to eat a balanced diet. Getting the assistance from a nutritionist or a board certified integrative medical doctor. So in my practice, that's what we do. We look at people's nutrition. We look at their vitamin levels on a cellular basis. So blood work is not a great way to determine if you have vitamin deficiencies because the bloodstream is normalized by the body. You know, your body knows that blood circulation is a critical function and it doesn't allow blood circulation to suffer very much. So it will normalize your blood by taking away from your cells. And so we see a different picture inside the body's cells, especially the more vulnerable cells like the immune system. When we look at the immune system cells, which we have the ability to do, we see a lot of deficiency there. And we can measure the response of the immune system by testing the immune cells themselves. And we can also measure vitamin levels inside those cells through testing. That's not available at a conventional medical doctor's office, and it's not available at a regular, you know, lab that we would go to get our usual blood work. So it's a specialty test. And what it does is it reveals up to 33 different nutrient deficiencies inside the immune system. And we can begin to correct those by adjusting someone's nutrition and also adjusting their supplement regimen. You know, I have people that take random vitamins and minerals and they don't know why they're taking them. You know, they read about it here, they read about CoQ10 over there, they read about, you know, selenium over here and zinc over there. That's all well and good, but if you don't know what you need, you're gonna run into problems, right? Because if all you're doing is taking zinc and you have a copper deficiency, you're not gonna do yourself any good. You know, if you are taking only vitamin D, but you have a vitamin C deficiency, that's not gonna help either. And if you're not taking the right doses, so if you don't know what your levels actually are, you don't know how much to take to normalize your levels. So inevitably, we need data. You know, we need to be data-driven in the way that we approach wellness. And so getting a test that helps you to know if you have a lot of vitamin deficiencies will go a long way towards correcting those through proper nutrition and proper supplementation. And the supplement industry is a minefield. It's very difficult for the layperson to really scrutinize supplements and to know, A, what they need, what dose they need, and more importantly, what's in the pill. You know, there was a study done a few years ago where we realized that because the supplement industry is unregulated, supplement companies were putting things in the capsule that were not on the label. And sometimes what was on the label was not what was in the capsule. And so there was no standard. And so it's really critically important to know that the supplement company that you use actually puts in the capsule what is on the label and doesn't add a lot of extra junk as filler. And so a lot of people just need that guidance. They need a board certified integrative medical doctor or a nutritionist to really be able to scrutinize their supplements and to make, to help them make the most informed decisions. Another very critically important thing that we look at is the gastrointestinal system. And in traditional Chinese medicine, there's a premise that says spleen is king. In traditional Chinese medicine, spleen is an energy field. So it's not the small organ that's under the stomach that makes blood cells that we're aware of. It's much more than that. It's actually an energy field that is beyond the human body, and it has certain functions that it performs for us energetically and physically. And it's we don't have an equivalent in our traditional, in our conventional medical model for what the Chinese call spleen. The closest thing that we can come to is our metabolism and our gastrointestinal system combined. And they say that all curious diseases have their roots in the spleen. And what that means is at the root of every chronic, you know, disease or complicated disease is a metabolic problem, is a gastrointestinal problem, or both. You can't really have a gut problem without it affecting your metabolism, and you can't have a metabolic problem without it affecting your gut. And so the gut in Chinese medicine is the first thing that they typically tell us to look at, especially if that's what the evaluation tells us. So there's a way to diagnose a spleen problem in traditional Chinese medicine that we always look for. And if it's present, we do functional testing to look at the gastrointestinal system and to look at metabolism more closely. When we look at COVID-19 and we look at why people get sick, we can begin to understand why metabolism and energy has so much to do with how we prevent it and how we recover from it and how we prevent the next pandemic. So on the other side of this commercial break, we'll continue our conversation and talk a little bit more about metabolism, how to boost your metabolism, how to improve your immunity so that you can keep yourself and your family and loved ones safe through this time of crisis. Thank you. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Cat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness. I'm Dr. Milen Ryobe, your host. And today we're looking at the year in review, COVID-19. How do we get here and how do we get out of here? And so I'd like to discuss metabolism, because in traditional Chinese medicine, we learned that everything is really about energy. They told us this 4,000 years ago. And that's why their system of medicine is what's called an energy-based system of medicine. And about 100 years ago, Albert Einstein basically told us the same thing with his equation E equals mc squared. So E being energy, M being matter. You know, so energy and matter are interchangeable according to Albert Einstein. And 4,000 years before that, ancient traditions, ancient scientists, physicians told us essentially the same. And so it's nice to see modern science confirming ancient tradition. And so why is energy so important? Like, what energy seems so nebulous and abstract, and you can't see it, you can't really touch it, taste it, or smell it. And so it's kind of elusive. It's this thing that we talk about. But to get a really good example of energy, we could stick our wet finger in a socket and we would feel energy immediately. So it's a very real thing, and it's not abstract. It's just difficult to quantify and see in our everyday lives. And so we tend to kind of ignore it. But it's something extremely important, because when we look at modern science and what it's telling us about the human body, we begin to understand that what we think is physical is really actually not physical. So we look physical because we have skin as a barrier, and we think that it's a barrier, and we can't put our hand through ourselves. So we think that this is a solid thing that we have that we call a body. But modern science and ancient traditions are in agreement now that this is not really solid. It's really actually energy. And Albert Einstein went so far as to say that physical things or matter doesn't actually exist. And that what we think is physical or what we call matter is just energy that's vibrating at such a low vibration and vibrating so slowly that we can sense it through vision, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. And that it only constitutes 1% of what we consider to be our reality. So physical stuff is only 1% of our reality. The other 99% is actually energy. And we can actually do a little bit of a thought experiment on that. So if you were to get a powerful enough microscope and look at your hand, you would see, you know, that your hand is made of cells. And if you looked into the cells, ultimately you would see molecules. And molecules are physical substances. So for example, a water molecule. So it turns out that 99% of the molecules that make up the structure of the human body are water molecules. So 99% of us is water. Now we're 70% by weight, so that's different, but molecularly speaking, our structure is 99% water molecules. And if you look at a water molecule, it's 99% space. And so the idea that we're really solid is called into question. And so that brings the importance of an energy-based system of medicine to the forefront, because we're way more than what we can see. We're way more than what we can smell, taste, touch, and hear. You know, we're missing 99% of the story if we're only looking at physical things. So if all we're looking to do is to use an antiviral to kill a virus, for example, we're only looking at 1% of the solution. If we're looking at a vaccine, we're only looking at 1% of the solution, and we're missing the other 99%. The other 99% is energy. And what is energy? It is what we would identify as metabolism. It's how metabolism is how we make and use energy in the body through food. You know, so it always boils down to food. So we eat our food, we breathe oxygen, that goes to our cells. It has to pass through the gastrointestinal system. And if it doesn't get through the gastrointestinal system, it doesn't get to the cells where it's most needed. So if you have a gastrointestinal problem or symptoms, you want to get those treated immediately and thoroughly. And unfortunately, our allopathic model does not have a good means of diagnosing and treating gastrointestinal functional problems. And so for that, we would need to go to an integrative medical doctor. Now, we do go to the gastroenterologist to get our colonoscopies done, you know, after the age of 50 or in the presence of significant symptoms earlier than that. But that's looking at something that's already a disease process. It's looking for cancer. It's looking for colitis. It's looking for conditions that already exist. What we need to do is look at the reasons why those conditions may exist or what might be brewing to become a condition down the road that we can't identify. And so in integrative medicine, we identify gastrointestinal problems that are not identified by allopathic physicians, for example, small bowel infections that are not really recognized by the medical community yet. Although Johns Hopkins has done years worth of research on it, Mount Sinai in New York has done years worth of research, you will still find, unfortunately, allopathic medical doctors and gastroenterologists who don't believe that it exists, who don't believe it's a condition that needs to be treated. Well, Cleveland Clinic is identifying that small bowel infections are placing people at risk for heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes, and the only reason they don't list more is because they haven't looked for the connections yet, but they will find them. And so it's important to have the right evaluations. So we have to learn to mix our allopathic system with a more integrative, holistic approach that looks at the root causes. So if you're having diarrhea, constipation, bloating, heartburn, nausea, those are all warning signs that your immune system is not functioning properly because it's directly related to a gastrointestinal problem. And so if we really want to beat back this COVID-19 pandemic and prevent the next one, or prevent the heart attack, or prevent the Alzheimer's, or the stroke, or the cancer, whatever we want to look at, it all always boils down to metabolism and energy production. And so that's why traditional Chinese medicine has become a cornerstone in my practice that I will never abandon, because it guides you to the right answers almost inevitably always, as long as you follow them. You know, it's up to the practitioner to be able to use the information appropriately. And as long as we do so, we get answers. We find out what's going on, and we can then correct nutrient deficits. So the source of the problem is actually really malnutrition. It's not lack of technology. It's not lack of antibiotics. It's not lack of antivirals. It's not lack of masks. It's not lack of healthcare. It's simply lack of appropriate food and appropriate gastrointestinal function. And if we really want to look at this crisis, and if we really want to fix it, this is where we need to begin to look very critically. And there's a lot of data to substantiate this. This is not conjecture. It's facts. It's data. We know that 70% of Americans have a gastrointestinal symptom. We know that 25% of Americans have a very significant gastrointestinal disease. Johns Hopkins and Cleveland Clinic have estimated that 70% of Americans have a small bowel infection that is preventing them from absorbing their nutrition and thereby weakening their immune system. And they don't know it because it's not routinely tested at an allopathic medical doctor's office. And so these are the conversations we'll be having in the coming weeks. And if you have a particular topic you'd like to hear about, please feel free to let us know at info@ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. Ryobe is spelled R-I-O-B-E, integrativemedicine.com. We'd love to hear from you. My website is ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. And in my upcoming book, Faith, Fearlessly Affirming and Intending to Transform Health, I will discuss these topics and many, many more. And my book is coming out on April 23rd. You can get the first three chapters free by signing up for our newsletter on our website. And you can pre-purchase your book and get 20% off. And I'm really looking forward to having it published on April 23rd and continuing the conversation. But we'll be back again live in 2 weeks on Awakened Wellness right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And I thank you so much, and I wish you many blessings and good health.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit ryobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.